Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The United States Supreme Court has requested the United States Solicitor General to file a brief in our case regarding the New York vax issue. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Well, you know, this case, Matt, as you know, Doe's versus New York Governor Kathy Hochul was it seven times sitting in the Supreme Court?
Conference seven times.
We filed a lawsuit on behalf of the healthcare workers in New York because of the COVID vax mandates, and they got kicked to the curb because of those, and they did not accommodate the religious freedom in that case. So we kept asking the Supreme Court, will you take this case? Will you take this case? Seven times they pushed it down, and finally we got great news asking the Solicitor General to weigh in.
Yeah, so the Supreme Court typically on the first conference will deny most cases, the vast, vast majority, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases, thousands of cases actually they deny. In our case, they conferenced our case after the petition that we filed, and they didn't deny the case, but they didn't accept it. So they set it for a second conference.
And we kept watching.
Well, they've done that seven times. They've met seven times on this case.
I think that's a prophetic number, don't you?
I do, yeah. So they obviously have a strong interest in the case, but they likely have some lingering questions about the case. Mm-hmm. And consequently, they have asked the United States Solicitor General to file a brief stating the United States position on this case, because our argument is that New York Governor Kathy Hochul and her administration passed an emergency rule that became a permanent rule that directed all the healthcare employers in New York to get all of their employees fully, quote, vaxxed with the COVID-19 shot. And that while they had a limited medical exemption, there were no religious exemptions allowed, period. So consequently, we had individuals, some of whom, one, for example, was working for 10 years with an exemption to all vaccines, a remote worker, and then got the exemption for the COVID vaccine as a remote worker. But then this mandate came in and the exemption was revoked and he was terminated. And the employers were faced with terminating these employees, or they would be fined daily, $1,000 per employee, every day that they didn't have a fully 100% vaxxed staff, and they would lose their business license. So they would literally shut down.
And granted, remember now, they don't really care about their health or their religious beliefs or anything like that. They care about the bottom line, which is them getting money, as in Hochul, getting money from having all her employees with shots.
Yeah, so she's ideological and wants all of them with shots.
She has a monetary incentive.
Yeah, and then they're obviously getting money from the federal government during that time as well.
Right.
And the employers, they're wanting to just do their business, and they didn't stand up for their employees, so they terminated them. People that were, like this one person, I said, he was 10 years, remote worker, had a 10-year exemption from all the vaccines, not just COVID. Then COVID comes along, asks for an exemption to that, gets an exemption to that. He's working at home, remote, doesn't come into the office. Then this mandate comes in. Hochul says, 100% vaxxed. When they say you've got to get the vax, he says, no, I can't. It's against my religious belief. And obviously they've been able to accommodate him for 10 years.
And when else have you seen the government force people to take a shot, much less an experimental shot?
Well,
when
this else is have you seen very this unusual with COVID, what happened.
Yeah.
And so this mandate came in. And so what our argument is that what Hochul and her government did is imposed a state law or rule on employers that overrode or conflicted with the federal Title VII. Title VII, the federal employment law, when an employee requests a religious accommodation, requires the employer to engage in an interactive discussion with the employee about the religious belief, about how they can provide an accommodation, and they have to look at ways in which they can provide an accommodation. And only if it's an undue hardship will they not have to provide accommodation. But if they can provide an accommodation that's not an undue hardship, then they must. And take the person again who is the remote worker. They had accommodated him. So obviously they can accommodate them. And it's not an undue hardship because they've been doing it for 10 years. Why all of a sudden the change? They wouldn't even consider his religious objection or exception. They just simply terminated him. And so all these employers then sent back information to our clients, many of whom already had an exemption from COVID.
Yeah.
And they said, it's revoked. We're not going to consider it.
And, you know, all these COVID shots are associated with aborted fetal cells. So number one, they don't want that in their body. And number two, many people don't want to defile their body with an experimental shot. So they should be granted a religious accommodation. You're granting medical accommodations, but you're not granting religious accommodations.
Right. So, you know, this thing was conferenced seven times. We know that they're looking for something. They may have some questions about the process. And they're being very cautious about reviewing the case. So then they asked the United States Solicitor General to weigh in on it. That brief will be forthcoming.
That's a good sign.
That's a good sign. As a process that happens when they do that, typically the Solicitor General reaches out to both sides, both parties. And they've done that to us. And we just had a meeting with the Solicitor General office in Washington, D.C., and the other side has the opportunity to meet with the Solicitor General's office as well, and each side presents their particular viewpoints and arguments. Then the Solicitor General takes all that into consideration and writes a brief stating the position of the United States on this issue. So if the Solicitor General's brief comes back and says, yes, this is a case that is worthy of the Supreme Court's review because of the significant issue that it raises, then the Supreme Court no doubt will take this case. On the other hand, if the Solicitor General comes back and says, this case is not one that the United States will take a position on or is interested in, then likely the Supreme Court won't take the case. So a lot is riding on this Solicitor General's brief. So pray for that brief. It has not been filed yet. We've just had our meeting with the Solicitor General's office. And then the other side either has, or they certainly soon will, they have the opportunity to meet with the Solicitor General's office as well. And then the Solicitor General's office will file a brief. If they file a brief that's favorable, we should hear from the United States Supreme Court shortly thereafter. And that would mean they would take the case. We would get the case for briefing, and then the case would likely be argued in the fall of this year.
And of course, bottom line, it's these New York healthcare workers that are at stake. You know, their livelihoods, they've already been fired, but I can see they're the ones that need justice in this case. And I could see this setting a precedent for all these other health co-workers in other states that were kicked to the curb.
Yeah, for example, Maine is the same way. Maine did exactly the same thing, and many people were terminated. Same kind of thing. Here, in addition to this person I was telling you about 10 years, we've had many others that already had their exemption, got it revoked. But then we also have Pinecrest, which is a nursing home. It had been in business for 50 years, Christian-owned and operated. Christian staff, very Christian environment. People selected Pinecrest because of its Christian-friendly environment.
That was in Maine?
And no, this was in New York.
Oh, New York.
Yeah, and Pinecrest was now an employer and told, you got to vax 100% of your people. Well, people had religious objections and they did not want to override them. And consequently, they made a decision. We can't weather the storm. We can't afford to pay $1,000 a day for every employee. And obviously, we can't afford to lose our business license. If they lose their business license, they're done. So Pinecrest sadly closed down in the middle of COVID. Some of these patients that they had were memory care patients. So they had to scurry to find alternative places for these individuals in the midst of COVID This was in 2021.
This is so wrong. I just pray justice will be served in this case.
Yeah, and if you remember 2021, the fall, that was when the Omicron was going around, very contagious. Less than the Delta, but Omicron was very contagious. That was what's happened. Justice needs to be served. Pray for the case. Doe's versus Hochul. And we represent a number of different healthcare workers, including an employer, that were part of this injustice. Pray for the case. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.